Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
According to page 471 of our LDC, anytime a developer's traffic impact analysis indicated that a roadway segment is going to exceed capacity, then their analysis will include the scope and the cost of the improvements necessary to accommodate the development. This allows my board the ability to analyze the scope and the cost against the financial feasibility of the comprehensive plan. And with 18 roadway segments that they identified as exceeding capacity, I asked staff to reach out to the developer for the required data, which they did, but as of this morning, we are still not in possession of that data. As a result of an incomplete application and not enough time to properly vet the project, I have requested the administration to postpone the hearing before my board until such time as we have a complete application.
Well, the 53rd time is a charm. So this is Alan Isaacson. He is a member of the zoning board, I think, in Santa Rosa County. Anyway, and he's talking about Jubilee here. And he says, look, Jubilee is the Gulf Breeze size project for like 8,000 homes. I mean, not exaggerating, you know, in like off of Schmuckla and that area of North Pace. And it's been a project that has kind of come before the board a few times, had a lot of protests against this project because of the impact on locals. And now it turns out that the project has major impacts on road segments that are going to be just plain inadequate to handle it, which is, I mean, not a surprise. Okay. Luther Fowler Road and Berry Hill Road and some of these Schmuckla Highway are, you know, let's just say not super awesome. You know, and we're always dealing with this problem in Santa Rosa County. I mean, because the roads were not built for all of that, right? And so they're needing to make them significantly better or, you know, something because trying to accommodate this. And he says, can we just postpone? Just let's not do this on September 9th.
I keep saying I because as a Sunshine Board, I'm not allowed to deliberate with my fellow board members and can only communicate with staff. But in a nutshell, we have been told that 18 roadway segments were identified in their analysis to exceed capacity. And my board is unable to consider something of this magnitude without the required data as outlined in our LDC. If we do meet on September 9th, I've asked administration that it only be an intent to gather additional input from the applicant and the community, but I ask that no action be taken.
Which is, I think, a very reasonable request when the zoning board guy comes before you and says, this is not in compliance yet with our land development code. We're not ready for prime time. We need to push this back.
When the new date of the September 9th was set for the zoning board to hear the petition for Jubilee's 8,017 home rezoning, that date proved not enough time to properly analyze and vet a project of this size. As my board continues to wait today for the staff analysis, all we have before us currently is their application. But in my review of their application, I discovered that a major requirement of the LDC had been missed.
Yeah, that was the business about analyzing the traffic and whether the roads are really up to snuff. And he says, you know, again, several of them are not adequate and that analysis has not been done, not fully. And that's the problem. And he says, look, I just don't want to get us put in a position where we are even asked to approve something and we're not properly equipped to do it. And you get starting to blame us for doing a job that we're not being given enough information to do properly.
We get put sometimes as your citizens in some precarious situations. And when we have a project that huge, it's important to me before I give you guys a recommendation that we have truly vetted it, which is our responsibility. So I don't think it's a big ask for me to say on something this large that's been around for so long that them completing the application as required by the LDC, me asking for us not to make a decision, is not a big ask in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And, you know, PNJ, Tom McLaughlin reporting on this as well, talking about, you know, Commissioner Kerry Smith saying that he agrees with that. You know, their numbers that they had in the PNJ, I heard him say this, but, you know, I'm sure it's accurate, is that the roads around Jubilee, again, this massive proposed development in North Santa Rosa, I mean, Middle Santa Rosa, but North Pace, showed that 7 roads around the community would be over capacity by 2029. 5 more by 2039, regardless of where the Jubilee is built, and another 5 or 6 would be over capacity as of 2043. So it's not entirely because of Jubilee, but, you know, if the roads are already not going to be at capacity as all the development that's going on continues, and you're going to throw this on there as well, that's not good. And this is why we have these conversations about things like, you know, concurrency or impact fees or traffic mitigation fees or, you know, all of this different stuff. Is so that we have smarter development, because otherwise people buy their homes, they think they're fantastic, they're modern and technological, and they've got all the amenities in this great new, but you can't get from there to the rest of the civilization because the roads are inadequate and you're pounding your steering wheel every day when you're trying to deal with it, which is not good really for anybody. 716 on News Radio 92.3. We've got traffic on the fives now with John Pickens. John?
That's right. No accidents right now to report to you, but again, if you're traveling I-10 eastbound, from the Pine Forest exit all the way through Highway 29, through that construction zone, you're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. So make sure you build that in. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, you know me, I have many times given Jeff Burgosh, Commissioner Burgosh, a hard time over him saying that he was in favor of concurrency in Escambia County and not bringing it in front of the board. Of course, he lost re-election, so now he's, you know, lame duck. But and I've said it before, I will say it again. I will praise him if he brings it. And he kind of has an opportunity to, you know, leave on a positive note by fulfilling a campaign promise, even though he didn't get reelected. Now, you know, maybe he would say, well, it's not up to me. It's up to Steve Stroberger to figure this out with that. And that's fine, too. I mean, they will. You know, past November, they'll figure it out. Whether Stephen Barry is still around or not, whether Josh Roberson winds up winning that seat as an NPA, well, time will tell. But you know, maybe it's better to wait because you get the one that's by the advocates for real. I don't know. We'll see. But if they want to bring something that create some kind of plan in Escambia County as opposed to the no plan that we've been operating on for so long. And if there is a plan, we give opt-outs to it. I will praise that. You know, I will celebrate that. And I think, you know, maybe that's a way to kind of do something good on your way out the door. 717 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. And, you know, if you're thinking about a home improvement project or fixing something or fixing a fix that got fixed the wrong way, you know, sometimes that happens. Or maybe you build things for a living. I don't know where you are on the, like, home improvement scale. I'm a negative one. On a 1 to 10 scale, I'm a negative one. I do it only when I absolutely must, and I say a lot of bad words when I do. Because that's, you know, that's just where I am. But Pensacola Hardware, that's your place, man. That's your place to go to get the products, to get the advice, the how-to. If you're a professional builder, they will help you. That's their bread and butter, is helping, really, people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. Since 1851, they've been doing this. So they have the institutional knowledge, and they will definitely have, you know, what you need. Also, if you're looking for a good gift, it might sound a little bit weird, but in the front of the store, they have a whole houseware section. You know, Yeti merchandise, SEC merchandise, as we're starting to get into that season now. And, you know, all of the things that you might want to give somebody or buy for yourself, cutlery and grills and gumbo pots and all that kind of stuff, really, really cool stuff in the front of the house. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Judge not that ye be not judged. Consider with me what that really means. That phrase is not a command against making judgments, but in contrast, Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is a command to judge properly. It's so easy to find fault in others, but the first rule of proper judgment is to consider and address your own faults. The second rule is to be sure that your judgments are clear and not clouded by a self-serving carnal agenda. Thirdly, don't waste your judgments on people who won't value them. For example, if you have a very valuable pearl necklace and you cast it into a pig pen, that would be foolish because the pigs don't understand the worth of the pearls. In the same way, you should be cautious with where you cast your valuable Bible-based judgments. So judge wisely.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Yes, it is that season. As we mentioned, SEC, right? So or ACC. But we have tickets to give away. It is time for football. So we have some tickets to go see FSU take on Boston College. Now, this is a Monday game. Okay, this is a Monday game, so next Monday. But I have two tickets to watch them play Boston College. So if you want to be caller number three right now, this is a 7:30 Monday game, 8:30 their time, I think, in Eastern time. But go see FSU play Boston College next Monday. Third caller wins 437-1620.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You big dummy.
Good morning, 7:21, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, this is such a weird, interesting story. I hadn't shared this before. Somebody had alerted me to this on Sunday, but this is just kind of one of those. I like odd stories that kind of, you know, things that never happen. This is a baseball story. So you've got Boston and Toronto. Okay, so the Red Sox and Blue Jays are playing a game on June 26th. So 2 months ago. Game was called because of rain, but it was put on hold, not canceled. So, you know, they were going to finish it at a later date. The league scheduled the game to resume play on Monday, 2 days ago, August 26th. So 2 months later, they're going to finish this game. So that's already kind of weird. That's not the weird part. The weird part is that the guy who was at bat when they called the game, and sometimes you call games after an out's been made, so it's, you know, but the guy who's actually at bat, in the middle of the at bat, Danny Jansen, was playing for the Red Sox, okay, and they call the game, middle of his at-bat. Resuming the game, you're going to pick up the game, you know, with the count of whatever he was up at, right? Here's the weird thing. He doesn't play for the Red Sox anymore. He got traded to the Blue Jays. So he's actually going to be playing, or did play, for the Blue Jays in this game on Monday, and it's the first time in history where a player has played for both teams in the same game. That's not the weirdest part. I mean, that's super weird. But in addition, he's a catcher. So as he transitioned to being on the Blue Jays, he goes from being the batter in the paused game to being the catcher for the at-bat of the guy who replaces him on the Red Sox. I just thought that was super weird. So, you know, the guy, Reese McGuire, winds up being the batter that took the place in the lineup. So, I don't know, just a super odd thing. The kind of thing that's obviously never, ever happened before in the history of baseball, but weird because of trades and how that stuff works. 7:24 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The White House is observing Overdose Awareness Week today. They're hosting families that have lost loved ones to overdoses. It was declared by the Biden administration to mourn the losses and acknowledge the toll taken. Cases apparently of sloth fever have been reported in Florida and in New York. The CDC says 9 cases were reported in Florida over the last week. New York has 1 confirmed case, all of those cases related to international travel. And Andrew, if you had to guess, how much money would it take to buy happiness?
Well, I know it can't buy me love, because I know my Beatles, but I'm assuming that this is one of those, like, everybody gives a number that's much more than they already have, you know.
Well, probably, yeah.
All right, what do you got?
Well, so
to buy me happiness, I mean, happiness is not a byproduct of money, but it doesn't hurt.
That's it. It does help a little, maybe. A new poll shows that it would cost you $200,000 to be happy.
At the happiness store?
Well, yes, at the happiness store. The financial advice website CardRates did a survey of 780, it says, employed Americans to get their feelings on how much money they would need to be happy. And 56% said that they would be content if only they had $200,000.
Pretty cheap. Pretty cheap. You know what you find out, though, is if they
I don't think that would buy you very much these days.
I think what you find is that when people have $200,000, and then they're not really happy, and they're like, but maybe three.
Right. maybe four. If I had 400,000.
Just a little bit more, right? That's always the seduction of money as a source of happiness, is you always want a little bit more. People can adjust to all kinds of stuff. You know, you can adjust to poverty, you can adjust to wealth, and you can take it for granted or be grateful for it in either place, right?
So, oh, absolutely. You know. Yeah.
David, thanks so much for the update. 7:25, John Pickens got traffic on. Oh, who won? Who won our tickets first round? We have more to come, by the way.
And congratulations to Jeremy Small.
Nice. Congratulations. Enjoy the game. Go Noles. John, got traffic on the fives.
We've got a traffic light out if you're at Kim Strand Road and East Kingsfield Road. Says the traffic light is malfunctioning there, so just be careful of that. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're starting to get a volume delay there, so I'd say expect about 10 to 15 minutes now to plan in your commute. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. The wait is over. Kamala Harris is going to go forth and bravely endure questions from a member of the media. It's going to be a hard-hitting interview on a well-known conservative station. They're going to do it live, and she's going to do it by herself with no preparation. Except it's going to be on tape with CNN's Dana Bash, and she's going to do it with Tim Walz in tow because despite what you may have heard in feminist circles, apparently women do need to bring a man with them. When I mean, what in the world? It's a taped interview. Okay, I will not lose all respect for CNN if at least they publish the unedited version online. Remember when we were talking about Biden and Biden's cognitive facilities and or faculties, and then he was going to do this interview with George Stephanopoulos, and we said we weren't sure if it was going to be live, full content, edited, or what. And I said, at the very least, what ABC needs to do is produce the whole thing online so that we can watch it unedited. Right? I mean, that's a bare minimum. And they did that. And for the most part, they ran most of it unedited, I think, on This Week, the following. But they definitely aired it. It was available online. You could watch it for yourself. They have to do this unedited. Unless they're just going to admit that they're colluding with the DNC. But even so, she can't do it on her own? Trust us, she's ready to be present. She's totally ready to be present. But I can bring Tim with me, though, right? My God. It's amazing. And all of the flip-flops on these, hey, 70 days out, something like that, you know? The hope is that there are enough uninformed, undecided, don't know enough, aren't paying attention enough, and we can snow enough people to get her into the White House. As Quentin Tarantino said, that's all that bleeping matters. That's the only thing to bleep is just be the bleeping president. You know, don't bleep stuff up. I mean, that's what he said. Amazing. Oh, I have a kind of a good news note. I liked this. This is really neat. This is from the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last week on Monday. This was the Thursday meeting. This was Chairman Sam Parker introducing the pastor. I don't often share the invocations, but you'll see why. It's not going to be the invocation per se, but you'll see why.
We're going to go ahead and open the meeting in a word of prayer. We've got Randy Jackson here. He's an associate pastor with Milton First Baptist Church. So,
Randy Jackson?
Why do you have Randy Jackson's autograph on a martial arts weapon?
Because I bumped into him and all I had on me was this samurai sword, and you're not going to not get Randy Jackson's autograph, right?
I would have done the exact same thing.
Different Randy Jackson. No, so he does the invocation, and then this is the reason I wanted to share this, because I thought this was such a sweet ending at the end of the invocation.
Pastor, thank you very much. And hey, real quick, Pastor, just in case somebody is looking for a home church, would you let them know where you're located at and when your services are? That way, I met a guy the other day, said he had just moved here and he was looking for a church.
Yes, we're First Baptist Church of Milton. We're in Milton at the corner of Canal and Caroline. So anybody who's looking for a church, we enjoy their visit. And if they don't like our church, we'll help them find another one.
Thank you, Pastor. You have a great day.
That line. Oh, my God, I love that line. If they don't like our church, we'll help them find another one. You know, one of the things you see in Christian circles a lot is this effort to, like, keep everybody in your church. You know, sometimes people are going to be happier and grow better with God if you find them a better place. It's okay. It's good. And I love the attitude that, hey, we just want you to find a place where you're going to thrive and grow and be happy. Oh, man, look, they're not the only ones who think this way. But there are some people who kind of have a, you know, scarcity, keep all the numbers inside this wall, you know, mindset. And there are other people who are like, hey, there's a lot of gardens you can grow in. Let's get you in a garden you're going to be happy in. Love that attitude. Good job.
I'm Gian Gelosi. The Harris Walls campaign kicking off their Georgia bus tour today.
They're going to be in some more rural parts of the state, too. Politico is reporting they are trying to mirror the playbook that helped Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff win in Georgia in 2021.
That's Fox's Peter Ducey. Senator J.D. Vance campaigning in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin today. Former President Trump will visit Michigan and Wisconsin tomorrow. Trump indicted again in special counsel Jack Smith's election subversion case.
The 36-page indictment is an attempt by Smith to streamline the case following the Supreme Court immunity rulings last month.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, the new indictment charges the former president with four felony counts of conspiracy and removes allegations against Justice Department officials. Trump claims this is persecution of a political opponent. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 78 degrees and partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Just seeing this report, two men are injured after a gunfight this morning on Ledbetter Lane. This happened at about 2:30 this morning. Channel 3 reporting the two men were fighting. That led to an exchange of gunfire. One man was reportedly shot in the hand. The other was shot in the foot. Both men are expected to recover. Deputies are still investigating. Interest rates are now starting to come back down. Northwest Florida realtors say it might be a good time to look into purchasing a home. Channel 3 talked with this realtor.
As the supply comes up, demand goes down. Well, the opposite happens too. So when interest rates start going down, that's going to cause prices to go up.
Terry Mahoney there with Keller Williams Realty Gulf Coast. She says acting quickly could be in a buyer's best interest now, as once more people get into the market, you are more likely to get into a bidding war to get a home locked down. A Pensacola man, facing charges now for allegedly threatening victims with a machete, then jumping through a window and attempting to run from deputies. All of this following a custody dispute. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says 39-year-old Roderick Lewis now faces several charges in relation to this case. The victims say that Lewis threatened them with a machete on Sunday and then fled the scene. He was later found at his girlfriend's home, where he jumped through a window in a bid to escape. The next day, Lewis and his girlfriend, 41-year-old Crystal Sorrell, were reportedly found driving on Michigan Avenue. Deputies say they tried to stop that vehicle, but Sorrell led them on a high-speed chase, which ended with a pit maneuver. Then Lewis reportedly got out and tried to run on foot. He was eventually caught in a backyard. Lewis is charged with aggravated battery, resisting an officer, possession of marijuana. Crystal Sorrell charged with fleeing and eluding. Yeah, a lot of people expected to hit the road this weekend for Labor Day weekend.
AAA reports that domestic travel during the last holiday weekend of the summer could jump as much as 9% compared to last year. The organization says some families may choose to travel to closer destinations due to time constraints. Some of the top U.S. destinations for Labor Day, according to AAA, include Anaheim, California, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, and Orlando. State and national parks are also expected to be popular spots for people to bid farewell to summer. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. And another delay for the SpaceX Polaris Dawn liftoff. That had some unfavorable weather in the Dragon capsule splashdown areas. The launch originally had been set for yesterday at the Kennedy Space Center. Then it was supposed to take place during a window this morning that started early at about 3:30 this morning. SpaceX says teams are continuing to monitor weather for favorable launch and return conditions. It is 7:35 now. News Radio 92.3 and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Kim Strand Road and Kingsville Road, there's a traffic light out right now. So just be aware of that. Also, if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound, even from the Pine Forest exit all the way through Highway 29, you're seeing about a 10-15 minute delay right there. So just be prepared for that. Other than that, things are looking okay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will have some spotty rain chances as we head into the afternoon today. 40% chance of rain overall, high near 90 degrees, feeling much warmer. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, another chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 93. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 78 in Pensacola, 78 also in Gulf Breeze, and 76 in Milton. Taking a look at our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of China's largest bottled water producer, Nongfu Spring, slumped 12% after the company reported a sharp slowdown in profit growth in the first half of the year. The company's net income grew 8% year over year to $876 million during the first 6 months. This compares to just over 23% growth in the first half of 2023. The company said increased competition and an online backlash affected sales. Shares of Nongfu Spring have declined over 41% this year. Shares of Chinese online retailer JD.com climbed just over 2.2% after the firm announced a $5 billion buyback program. The announcement is JD.com's second buyback this year after announcing a $3 billion buyback in March. Both JD.com shares have dropped about 20% year to date. Futures are slightly higher ahead of NVIDIA's quarterly earnings report later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
And right now it is 78 and sunny in Pensacola, also 78 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hurricane season is here. Don't wait until your Generac generator is needed to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today and schedule maintenance on your generator. Their Generac certified technicians will make sure your generator is ready when needed. Need a new unit or a replacement? Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric, a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical and generator needs. White Sands Electric.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Exciting. I think Clark's going to shoot me. 7:39 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Clark Merritt is the director of the Port of Pensacola. D.C. is in Europe right now, in Barcelona, I think in connection with the American Magic races are going on. Clark Merritt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, it was a very appropriate choice, Andrew, so that was good. You pulled that right out of your hat.
I asked him right before we were on the air. I said, what do you want me to play for the music? He says, I don't know, something, you know, boat related. I'm like, I got it. So
yeah, I guess I'm Captain Stubing, maybe.
Yeah, so like Bruce Woody gets the Sanford and Son, you know, song, and you get the Love Boat song. So we're all like, you know, vintage TV themes this morning. So let's
exactly,
talk.
Exactly.
Let's talk about American Magic a little bit. They had a win in their race just the other day. But what I think for a lot of people, it's still not entirely clear what is going on with American Magic, what the racing that's taking place in Spain means for us, and then what is the future of their presence at the Port of Pensacola in the city?
Yeah, great question. So like you mentioned, they are in the midst of competing for the Cup, for the 37th race of the America's Cup, being held in Barcelona right now. And correct, Mayor Reeves is over there cheering them on. What it means for Pensacola, they are the United States they're representing the United States in sailing against five other teams. It's a professional race. It's held every four and a half to 5 years, and it's a huge prestige thing. It's the oldest sailing trophy. It's the oldest trophy in sports, competitive sports, and it has been around since the 1800s. So it's quite an honor to have that. The United States had it for the longest time, and we lost it back in the 80s. There's some great documentaries on that for those of you who don't follow sailing. But more importantly, what it means for us is if they were to win, or actually when they win the Cup, they would come back. Yeah, and they would we would retain the Cup, and they get to set the rules for the next race. Like I said, it's held there about every four and a half years. So it would just highlight the United States and bring us to the forefront of the sailing world and Mecca and professional sailing. For the foreseeable future. And that's really the impetus behind Doug DeVos, who's the principal of the team. He really wants to make the United States dominant in the sailing world like we were decades ago. So they chose Pensacola. He's committed to building a center of excellence. And that's what we are under construction right now at the Port of Pensacola. People who are driving up and down Bayfront can probably see that the big building with the steel structures and frames that if they look on the port. So that's we're under construction. We have de-skinned that building, and we are structurally making repairs to it after the damage suffered from Hurricane Sally. And then they will rebuild that over the next year and a handful of months. We will rebuild that so that American Magic will use that as a fabrication center and a training center to do just what I mentioned about being dominant in world sailing.
And so when they get done with this race, regardless of whether they win, we certainly hope that they do. But, you know, and if they do, then that brings all kinds of possibilities for, you know, having the next one be here, right? But either way, people are going to be seeing them, again, practicing out on the bay and, you know, running their wild and crazy-looking vessel at extremely high speeds on the bay as they're training. And there's a big component of people. It's like, what, 150 people plus family and everybody else who comes to town for this, I think. Is that right?
Absolutely. They have actually relocated from New England, the New England area, where they had several facilities. They've closed those down, and it's a pure relocation, which is why we were successful with Erica's help at the Economic Development Office and Mayor Reeves and Mayor Robinson working with Triumph to secure the funding to help with the project and the governor's job growth grant funding as well. So there's a ton of state and local grant money in this, as well as the port. The port is, that's port land. So that's our biggest asset right now is the land that we have. And so, you know, the city is fully invested in this. But yeah, they're going to be here for the long haul. We've signed a long-term lease with them. Like you said, they're bringing their families. And, it's a tremendous opportunity for those who maybe follow other professional type sports like NASCAR or Formula One. That's the way to think of these guys, is they are at the pinnacle of technological prowess when it comes to yacht design, yacht racing, and skills. So it's a very expensive endeavor as well to compete for the Cup. So, I mean, all in all, we're so fortunate to have them here right now. It's kind of hard to understate that.
Yeah, we, people always say, I married up. man, we married up. You know, getting by size of community, getting American Magic here is pretty impressive. We're talking to Clark Merritt. He's the Port of Pensacola director. Come back to Clark in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
We've got some major delays. I-10 eastbound before the Pine Forest exit and all the way through 29. You're going to see about a 15-20 minute delay, and then another major one that's happening eastbound 98 backed up from Navarre Beach Causeway. It's all stop and go over to Mary Esther, so plan about an extra 30 minutes for that. They're saying it's mostly stopped, but it's moving. So I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Clark Merritt, Port of Pensacola director. The Florida Ports Council is here for meetings?
Right. So Florida 16 ports, 16 public ports, we collectively are called the Florida Ports Council, and we meet semi-annually to confer about, you know, issues affecting the state and shipping. Pensacola is hosting the event. We'll have a conference. It's pretty much a closed conference. We do have some open to the public meetings, but it's all 16 ports are represented. You know, ports like Miami and Jacksonville's port, Jack's port, Tampa port, Fort Everglades, you know, the major South Florida ports, they're all in Pensacola enjoying the beautiful sunshine and humidity. We're going to take them to a Wahoos game tonight, so they will get to enjoy that. But we're really here to discuss increasing Florida's trade throughput and what we can do to grow the infrastructure across the state to accommodate the throughput of cargo, more cargo. You know, South Florida is completely dependent on shipping for all their fuel. That's how Orlando gets its fuel for the airport. In addition to all the fuels for all, you know, automobiles, et cetera, everything comes in by vessel. So South Florida is completely dependent on the maritime commerce side. And the state realizes that, but so are we. I mean, we have tenants. One of our major tenants at the port is CMEX Materials. They're bringing in bulk cement from Mexico. We're importing about 300,000 tons of that a year. And that cement comes in, gets sent to the batch plants across the region and turned into concrete for local construction projects. So, you know, maritime commerce and trade is greatly important to the state. And so it's great to have everybody here. Like I said, we meet semi-annually, and we usually move it around to the state. But this is the first time in, I think, 12 years that it's been in Pensacola.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's pretty unusual. All right. I thought it wasn't something I remember happening before, and I've only been here 10 years. So the last time was even before I came here. Pickleball courts, a project that obviously is not your project per se, but is on your territory. Where is that project at?
So for those who have driven downtown by the ferry landing, the pickleball courts right now under construction are the outdoor pickleball courts.
Okay.
So the name is Portside Pickle, and you can see some signs that they have up. They have actually, they're pretty far along. They've actually relocated the fence. We had a security fence there that kind of separated the port from the ferry landing area and those parking lots. So they have moved that fence to the south, so that they can construct the outdoor pickleball courts that are going to be phase one of their project. They are telling us, and they are well on track to be open probably right around when the first cool snap comes, let's say.
Okay.
You know, mid-October is what they're shooting for. So they're hot and heavy into it. We don't see any issues slowing construction down, knock on wood. And they're very anxious to get open, and I think you're going to hear a lot more from them as it gets a little bit closer. I know they've had international people in. They've had representatives from the Pickleball Association, if that's what you call it. I'm not quite sure, but but these courts are going to be marquee courts. They're very excited about it, and the whole industry is very excited about it. So yeah, it's moving right along.
And that's the first real change in the fence perimeter, the fence line, since I've lived here. I don't think that we've had another one, you know, and the fact that they've already moved it so that they can be working on the public side because they've shifted, that hasn't changed in a long time, right?
It hadn't changed in probably, I would submit, 30 years
Wow.
at least.
Okay.
I think since we, you know, the fish house parking lot is kind of the fence line for the northern barrier of the port.
Right.
So that was old warehouse port warehouse number four. And so, you know, that served as the perimeter. But the port footprint hasn't been modified, like I said, in a long time. So it really dovetails into the studies that were done about 4 years ago that we've been working towards,
with
the growth from Palafox east and west, it's just a natural progression, to the east, and to reutilize some of the port properties that are maybe more conducive to a public use versus a pure port use.
Right.
We're going to concentrate our port trade activities, our traditional maritime trade activities on the southern half of the port, and then redevelop the northern half of the port to what makes most sense for Pensacola and for us. Now, I will add real quick here, our tonnage imports are the highest they've been in at least 17 years. So we have, vessel traffic has tripled in 3 years. And so we are very active on the maritime commerce side. GE Vernova, the wind energy facility up off the Scenic Highway that everybody's probably seen the trucks with the nacelles on it and the hubs. Their last vessel that was in importing those cast components from Southeast Asia, they had over 600 heavy items come off that vessel, which is twice as much as any other vessel they've ever had. And the next vessel that we'll have this week is expected to have the same amount. So we are very busy down here.
And if people want to know more about the port, the Facebook page is usually updated with good information. If you want to know what you're seeing out there, you guys keep that pretty well maintained. Clark Merritt, he is the Port of Pensacola director, a thriving, bustling port with more things going on all the time, including soon pickleball and soon back home American Magic. Clark, hey, man, thanks for the time this morning when D.C. was out of country. I appreciate it. And thanks for doing what you do to keep our port bustling, thriving, and making money for the city, man. That's good work.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Everybody have a great week. Thanks.
Thanks, Clark. 752 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you have a company, you have employees. And if you have employees, you have to deal with benefits and payroll and human resources. And you have to think about dental and vision and life and disability and, you know, health insurance in general. And it's probably not the thing that you got into business because you like, you know, that's probably more of an irritant or a trouble spot or like red tape you wish you didn't have to deal with. But guess what? It's big for the quality of life of your employees, and that's, you know, attracting and retaining them depends on this stuff. I will just tell you that Torgerson Causey, the company that we've been using now for about 3 years here in News Radio and Cat Country, has been outstanding. I mean, I didn't really realize, you know, sometimes you don't know that there's a better out there until you try a better, and then all of a sudden, like, wow, you know, we have plans we didn't have before, we have choices we didn't have before, and they can't, like, you know, the market is the market. But they're really good at going out and finding kind of the best things that are available out there. And as bad as health insurance is these days, they find the best versions of it and make those available to us. So I'm a big fan. Plus, they answer all of my wife's very detail-oriented questions. And she doesn't give a lot of endorsements for people for being detail-oriented as an industrial engineer. And they do get the thumbs up, which is very, very difficult. I don't even get it all the time. And she said, Torgerson Causey, they get it. 433-9996, Torgerson Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Join Gulf Coast Kids House on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30. Executive Director Stacy Costavicki, along with Rachel Smith, will be here to talk about their No Child Abuse training, as well as upcoming events, including the Dragon Boat Races on October 12th, the Steak Cook-Off on October 11th, and Brunch and Bubbles on October 27th. That's all on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake,
and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No disassemble. No disassemble number 5.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. Everything's great.
A little bit, almost.
Not everything is super great. Everything's not super awesome, but most of it's okay.
Totally awesome. Okay. I did eastbound. If you're at the Pine Forest exit or a little bit behind that, all the way up to exit number 1, going eastbound all the way to Highway 29, you've got congestion delay through that construction zone, so just be aware of that. That's about a 10-minute delay. And also, if you're traveling eastbound on 98 from Navarre Beach Causeway all the way over to Mary Esther's, just stop and go there, so plan an extra 30 minutes for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The founder of Barnes & Noble, the bookstore Barnes & Noble, has died after a battle with Alzheimer's. Leonard Riggio was 83 years old. A statement from his family calls him a true son of New York, born in Manhattan's Little Italy. He also founded Barnes & Noble, College Booksellers, and GameStop. Donald Trump being indicted.
Wait, whoa. He founded GameStop?
That's what this says.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Interesting. All right.
Yeah. Donald Trump being indicted again for allegedly interfering with the 2020 election. The Department of Justice said the new indictment reflects the Supreme Court's recent ruling that gives presidents some immunity from criminal prosecution. And video game voice actors are planning to picket outside of Warner Brothers Studios today. The SAG-AFTRA members want a new contract that would protect them against losing work to artificial intelligence.
I mean, how hard is it to do work where you talk and people can't even see you? Uh-oh. Dang.
See, I wasn't aware we were supposed to be picketing today. I had a very small role in a video game one time.
Did you?
I did, a very small.
What? Tell more.
Well, the video game was called The Toilet Chronicles. You're trapped in a toilet stall, okay? And I play the voice of the guy in the stall next over that reaches under and asks for more toilet paper.
Stop it.
Yeah.
This is for real?
Yes,
John Pickens
absolutely.
Is telling me this is a real thing.
Yes,
Newsmen
I played the game.
What?
Yes, I had to. He was in it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is like a for PC? This is not for a real platform.
It is a PC game. Yeah, it's a
wow.
PC. Yeah.
I feel simultaneously super entertained and super disgusted all at the same time. And you were the voice actor. You were the guy next over to help
right, yeah,
brother
I was
out.
In the next stall.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
Hey there, boy, partner.
Sometimes,
spare
you know,
a roll of toilet paper.
Sometimes it's not what you know it to, you know. Dave, that's the best thing I've heard all day. I love it. All right. I don't even know what to do now because I can't possibly follow up that story with anything. 437-1620. That's way better than not making on the Price is Right stage. That's my best story, and you got me beat by far. 437-1620. What else we got going on? This is kind of interesting. So the school board in Escambia County, you know how they banned a couple of books or said they can't be in the libraries. Entangle Makes Three is one of those books, and then the makers of the book is now sued, saying that you're suppressing free speech by, you know, having this culling of the textbooks that violates their First Amendment rights. And we've got the U.S. District Judge Alan Windsor is the one who's got a hearing coming up on September 4th. That'd be Wednesday. On a motion for protective order, which is meant to prevent anybody from deposing the school board members in Escambia County to find out, why did you ban this book? They're claiming legislative privilege. They're claiming that they don't have to be deposed. They don't have to testify. Weird, because legislative privilege is like you can't be sued for what you say during debate. It's a constitutional provision. I don't think it really applies to legislative intent like
dependable
this.
Traffic on the-